What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to the Field Goals Podcast. I'm Brandon Schultz. He's back and continuing our discussion, previewing the Seahawks and what they have to deal with in free agency. He's John Gilbert, deputy editor at Field Goals. John, let's get right into it and start by looking at the free agents on offense. And so I just want to run down this list real quick, John. You got left guard Mikey Potty. I think he's probably going to retire after what we saw from him this year. Greg Olsen, it looks like he's probably going to retire, move on to doing TV stuff. And in terms of starters, really, those are the only guys that are starting level that are coming off veteran contracts. There's Ethan Posick, who we talked about before. And then kind of guys just above $2 million who are who had significant playing time. You got Jacob Hollister. You got Carlos Hyde. You got Cedric Abuehi, who filled in at right tackle. And so I guess those are the key free agents to me. What do you see out of that particular group?
You know, I think it's obvious. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think Upati's likely played his last down for Seattle unless he's magically clears medicals and he signs a deal where he's expected to be a backup going forward. You know, it could be maybe he goes onto the practice squad, you know, next year just to be around or something like that. But I don't think he's, you know, I mean, come the end of the season, both 2019 and 2020, he was not available, you know, or ineffective due to injuries late in the year. And yeah, I think they'll be more than happy to roll with Warmack, Simmons, and somebody else, Haynes or whoever, in competition at the guard, left guard.
He signed spot. Alex Boone to the practice squad at the end of the year. Maybe he comes back.
Well, he hasn't played in the NFL since 2017, but he does have a relationship with Solari. So, you know, whether that was just a, hey, let me hook you up, you know, Alex, or, you know, hey, we really need some help here. You know, whatever that call was, I think we see competition at left guard. I think they may draft somebody, may sign up, you know, open up the competition at center. You know, maybe Justin Britt comes back on a prove it deal and wins out in a camp competition. We'll see, you know, but I think center and left guard will be those positions where it's they bring in some bodies and they let people get, you know, they give people a shot to win and, you know, see what they can prove in camp. And then they'll come out and whether it's preseason or whether it's week one, we'll find out, okay, week one, you know, we get to find, you know, 90 minutes before the game, we'll find out who the starting lineup is when they're reporting it from the warmups and the, you know, from the press box. And, you know, I think running back Carson is obviously a question, but they've got Homer, they've got Dallas, they've got Penny coming back. So it's, you know, they've got bodies at the position. It's not necessarily the bodies that they had at the top of the depth chart next year. So I could see something there. If there is something to be had, if there is somebody who is available on a, you know, somebody with more experience or, you know, whether it's a return of Mike Davis or, you know, whether Carlos Hyde would come back, tight end again, you know, I think it's going to be a whole lot of bodies. They seem to love Luke Wilson and love the energy that he brings. So maybe they have him come back once again. Obviously you've got Parkinson. We'll see what happens with Sullivan, whether he develops, whether he plays, what exactly was his injury that landed him on the, you know, on practice squad injured reserve this year. I don't think we'll see big splash signings. You know, we've seen Ed Dixon, we've seen Greg Olsen, and we haven't seen a whole lot of returns on it. I would not be surprised if Jacob Hollister comes back on an inexpensive contract next year. And one of the big things is, you know, I think it'll be a bodies, you know, numbers thing again, where it's who's going to be in competition for that wide receiver three spot to potentially replace David Moore if he goes elsewhere. You know, whether it's Freddie Swain, whether it's John Ursua. You know, they've got all of the guys who were on the receivers who were on the practice squad this year who are set to come back, who, you know, it's a full year of practice in the system. Penny Hart, of course, spent much of the year on the active roster, got a little bit of playing time, got some, you know, some production. So nothing spectacular or crazy, but, you know, at least time on the field. So I think there will be a whole lot of competition on the offensive side of the ball come training camp.
Yeah, a lot more production on the field for Hart than Philip Dorsett, although it sounds like Dorsett could come back another year. And really, you know, the $1 million salary that he had last year, that is probably something that the Seahawks could give him once again if they do think that he has the chance of playing on the field next year.
No, absolutely. I mean, if you know, he's a former first round pick who's shown that he can at least play. He's not an all pro. He's not a pro bowler by any stretch. But if he can bring the skill set that they're looking for, then, you know, which obviously Pete loves speed at wide receivers and challenge the defense deep to stretch the defense, get the safeties back, open things up underneath for the run. As long as that foot heals up, Dorsett might be one of those guys who's in the mix, especially, like you said, if he's willing to sign for league minimum again, you know, please bring him back.
I think we hit on offensive line probably being the number one need for the Seahawks in the offseason, especially with two starting positions potentially being up for grabs. Where do you see the next biggest need between running back, tight end, and wide receiver?
I don't necessarily think of it as, I wouldn't necessarily say it's the biggest need, but I'd say the biggest question. You know, we've seen both of the last 2 years, we've seen how the offense can sputter at times when Tyler Lockett is not on the field. So that third wide receiver spot, you know, it's not life or death. It's not win or lose, but it is something that's important, at least for this team, to have those weapons on the field, I believe. Whether it, you know, whether Moore comes back, whether it's Dorsett, whether it's one of the younger guys who competes, that for me is the biggest, at least the biggest area of concern, the biggest question mark during the offseason.
John, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it, but Pro Bowl fullback Nick Ballore, he is a free agent this offseason. What do the Seahawks do at fullback this offseason?
You know, Ballore was brought in by, I believe he had connections with Shoddy. Shoddy, he had played with the Jets back in 2011. He was, you know, he's a converted linebacker. And I don't know if, you know, if what his relationship is with, whether it was Shoddy that brought him in fully, whether he's, you know, he's a Pete guy now, whatever it is. But this is, you know, it will certainly be interesting to see, because in particular, I could see him coming back simply for his special teams contribution.
Sure.
You know, he's one of the leaders in terms of snaps on special teams. The special teams this season was light years better than they've been in the past couple of seasons. And he was, you know, again, among the snaps leaders for that unit. So I could certainly see them bringing him back. You know, while some fans will moan and groan and, you know, be upset by that.
Well, it's not weird. Exactly. It's weird to have a fullback that doesn't really play fullback, John.
Well, and that's the thing. He's not really a fullback. The Seahawks list him at fullback, but he still to this day has played, you know, even after two or three seasons now as a quote unquote fullback. I believe when you pull up his NFL, his stats, his career, he still played, I believe it's four times as many snaps at linebacker in his career as he has at fullback.
Right.
And it's, you know, and so I think it's one of those situations where it's like, we look at Nico Thorpe on the defensive side of the ball where it's say, okay, well, you know, Nico, he doesn't really contribute on defense. He's, you know, he's the fifth cornerback. If he's absolutely needed when he's healthy, you know, you'd prefer not to have him on the field on defense, but he's absolutely the special teams captain for a reason. And I think if Ballore were the sixth linebacker or the seventh linebacker, people would have absolutely no problem bringing him back on, you know, an identical 2-year contract to the one he signed 2 years ago. But I think just because he has that fullback next to his name, fans get up in a roar, even though, you know, like you just said, he doesn't actually play fullback all that much. You know, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I would guess that
he's had one carry for 5 yards. He had one reception for 9 yards. Both of those came in that game against San Francisco, where I think they had multiple guys out due to injury in that game. And so even when he was rising to the top of the depth chart, he got two touches in a game. So, you know, you could give Puna Ford those touches.
No, exactly. And that's, you know, it's Puna Ford would be in the, you know, the Will Tukuafu, you know, camp, who is a defensive line convert for, you know, to play fullback. And I think, you know, I won't be surprised if he's back, but I think if he's back, they've got him at a, you know, he did some work at linebacker last year in camp, though there were some reports by that. And I think I would not, like I said, not be surprised at all if he comes back, and he comes back as a linebacker, not as a fullback.
I have to admit, John, I brought up Nick Ballore, not really expecting to have a long discussion on his future with the team. But now I guess we can, at least we can say we didn't completely ignore special teams. So let's touch on the defense, because there are some big names there, especially with Shaquille Griffin and KJ Wright going into free agency. That's coming up next. Joining me to talk free agency is John Gilbert, deputy editor at Field Goals. Let's move over to defense and look at some of the key free agents there. KJ Wright, the biggest name probably. He played under a $7 million contract this year. You got linebacker Bruce Irvin, who could potentially come back after being injured most of the season. You got cornerback Quentin Dunbar, who this blew me away. When I looked at SpotTrack, it had Quentin Dunbar listed as, because they list like their market rate, it had him down as $17.6 million a year as his market rate, which was crazy to me. And then Benson Mayoa, who could potentially come back next year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just like you said, I would guess in all likelihood that Wright, you know, is on his way out the door. You know, I don't think we see him back. I love him. He's one of my favorite players. Absolutely will miss him. We'll be a fan of him until, you know, wherever he goes, as long as he's not playing against the Seahawks. But I think, you know, you've got Bobby Wagner in the middle and he's not going anywhere. You've got Jordan Brooks, who's probably going to be the second linebacker. I mean, he will be the second linebacker on the team, you know, if they've got healthy defensive backs and are playing as much nickel defense as they should be, then you're really using two linebackers on, you know, they should be using two linebackers on your league-wide averages. It's going to be 60 to 70% of snaps. So you're looking at a third linebacker you need for 30 to 40% of the snaps. Well, you've spent draft picks on Shaquem Griffin. You spent draft picks on Cody Barton. You spent draft picks on Ben Burke-Hervin. You know, my guess would be that Barton would take over as that third linebacker. But it's, you know, it's certainly possible that they could go another direction, you know, or that, you know, one of the other names could emerge. So I think Wright's gone. I think we see Brooks step up, get that second linebacker spot, play more than the 350 or so snaps that he played this year. And, you know, I think it's Brooks and Bobby next year at the linebacker position. Defensive backfield, I think they've got three of the four spots set. If you want to consider nickel a starting spot, they've got four of the five spots set with, or at least, you know, they've got names that they can rely on with Ugo Amadi at the nickel spot, Adams, Reed, and Diggs at the other three spots. And they're really only trying to address the one corner spot. I agree with you. I don't think Dunbar's market is anywhere near $17 million. You know, I mean, I had to do a double take when it, you know, PFF projected his market at 2 years and $12 million, but that's, you know, that's something that I could see if it was a, you know, okay, you know, we'll give you $6 million guaranteed on a 2 year, $12 million contract. And if you're not good in 2021, then you'll be gone. I'm not saying the Seahawks would do that, but I could see a team putting that
would
that
be
kind
a reasonable
contract.
Number. I would look at that and I wouldn't think it was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it would be more than I would want to pay, but if you know, if he's healthy and the knee checks out, please, by all means, you know, his 2019 tape looked good. His 2020 tape did not look good, but we know that he was battling a knee injury. So what the details are, we don't know, but we can only guess, but it's, you know, you could tell in that Buffalo game that he was not healthy, and it's, right. You know, it's unfortunate because of what could have been. And then on the defensive line, you know, I mean, Irvin, I think he came back to Seattle. He loves Seattle, obviously. I would be happy to have him back on an inexpensive deal, or, you know, with performance incentives, with him coming off of that knee injury. Mayoa, if he's, you know, if he wants to come back, if he doesn't find a market for his services elsewhere, you know, he performed well when he was healthy. So between those guys, between the youngsters that they already have on rookie contracts, and then add in Carlos Dunlap, whether they extend him or keep him, the defense doesn't feel like there are nearly as many questions as there are on offense. And it really feels like.
Yeah, that's the surprising thing going into this offseason is even with the defensive line, with Carlos Dunlap being under contract and having guys like Rasheem Green and Alton Robinson and, you know, Daryl Taylor was so close to practicing, or it sounded like he was practicing at the end. And I don't know whether or not to read into Pete that he could have, you know, maybe been in contention to play had they played another game. I don't know if that's him being optimistic or realistic. And so I kind of like this group of defensive linemen, especially at the edge spots. Well, you got Jaron Reed coming back too, and, you know, Puna Ford as well.
And Brian Monet in the middle. I mean, right. You've got all three of the defensive tackles who were on the roster are either under contract or under team control. And Cedric Lattimore played well in the playoff game coming up from the practice squad. So it's just another name to throw in the mix. And then, like I said, there's not a whole lot of questions at linebacker there. You've got one question at that opposite corner, that last cornerback spot. It almost feels on the D, like you were saying before, where we were having this discussion about which unit has the most questions going into 2021. If you'd asked us midseason, we've been like, oh, they're going to overhaul this defense because this group sucks. and now here we are. It's like, okay, well, this group played pretty well down the stretch. They had moments, there were some communication, some coverage, blown coverages at time, whatever, but that it happens, as a whole down the stretch, the group played so much better. And we're in a position now where it's like, okay, well, all right, well, the defensive line looks really good. We can add a couple of pieces here and there, but there are no pressing needs. There's not really a pressing need at linebacker. We've got names in competition for that second corner spot. Before, the five spots in the secondary are pretty well covered. And we've got some pretty decent depth with younger guys like Ryan Neal. What happens with Marquise Blair when he comes back? It's a whole lot of questions that aren't questions, but they're not pressing. They're not important. They're not who's going to be protecting Russell Wilson on the offensive line, because we're 40% of our guys are unstarted or unsigned for next year. So it really is a surprise of how things, at least to me, how things have turned out with the groups going into the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess I think I have two main questions with the defense, and that is, do you bring Shaquille Griffin back just because, man, going into this season, if I look at, just who's on the roster, if I say, okay, you got Shaquille Griffin starting opposite DJ Reed, I feel like corner, and then you have Ugo Amadi or, the number of other guys who could fill in and play nickel, that feels really good. But then if you take out Shaquille Griffin, you're talking about DJ Reed and then maybe starting Trey Flowers opposite him, or, however the competition works out with regard to those guys. It brings up a whole lot more questions for me if you take Griffin out of that, but they've always seemed to find other guys. And so it's difficult for me to say, yes, pay a guy like Griffin when you could spend that money protecting Russell Wilson. And that just seems like a better place to spend the money. And then the other question is linebacker with, KJ Wright. You mentioned that he's probably gone, especially, he could price his way out of Seattle. But then with that conversion to the strong side linebacker, that could be the spot that Bruce Irvin comes back. And, if he's healthy, he could probably give you, he's not going to be KJ Wright with just the way he played so incredibly this season. But I don't know if you can count on another year like that from Wright again either.
Yeah, I mean, Wright's at the age where it was only a couple of years ago where, hey, KJ's just a couple of weeks away from coming back. He's just a couple of weeks away from coming back. And it was, okay, is this going to be a knee or career ending knee injury? And then he came back and he had a very solid night 2019. Then he came back and had an even better 2020. And now we're at the situation where it's like, okay, had you asked me before the season, a year ago, people right now were sitting there saying, Seahawks fans were saying, look, love KJ, need that cap space.
Right.
Oh, sorry, KJ's got to go. And then, KJ came out and had an absolutely fantastic year. And now people are like, we'd love to have KJ, but we don't have the cap space. And I think whether he winds up in Seattle, whether he winds up elsewhere, like I said, I'd love to have him back. The defense isn't going to give up a screen pass when he's on the field. I don't think it's going to happen. Whether it's, Robert Saleh going to the Jets, or whether it's, Gus Bradley with the Raiders, there are a lot of people out there running Pete's style of defense who can bring in KJ during an offseason when there may not be a whole lot of offseason workouts, and KJ and players aren't allowed to have contact with the coaches, and KJ can start helping install the packages in the defense and teaching youngsters their responsibilities once he's signed in March versus waiting until training camp in July or August.
With that said, if they do re-sign KJ, I'm totally okay with it. I love KJ Wright.
please, by all means, cut Russell. Bring KJ back. That's what you got.
I mean, if it comes down to it, John, I don't know. I'm glad my emotional self is not making the decision. That's all I have to say.
No, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things where I think he's a fan favorite. I think it is an absolute shame that he will have spent the majority of his career, playing in the shadows of one of the greatest, if not the greatest linebacker in the history of the game, and overshadowed on a defense where he was playing behind Cliff Avril and Michael Bennett and guys like that, and playing in front of Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. You know, there's only so many names that can fit into the brains of non-Seahawks fans. You know, he's fantastic. He was consistent throughout the years. He wasn't making the big flashy plays most of the time, but it was, he's just a phenomenal player. He does what he's supposed to do. He is where he needs to be. And yeah, we've seen those skills erode, but he's still an impact player at an age where most linebackers have already, most linebackers don't last as long as he has, and he's still, impactful. And it's, like I said, I'll be rooting for him wherever he signs next year, as long as he's not on the field facing the Seahawks. So,
well, with that said, I want to go back to kind of the conversation around the defensive backs too, because, okay, so if, say, KJ does come back, then you have two linebackers that you're paying top of the market money to, because I do think that KJ is probably looking for that kind of payday. And you know what? Even if he came back for the same level contract that it was last year, I do think that that's more than most teams, are willing to pay two guys over $7 million for their linebacker spots, unless they're a 3-4 defense. But, and then you have Carlos Dunlap making, upwards of $10 million on the defensive line. Puna Ford could be in line for a big contract in the interior. You already have Jaron Reed there too. And so you're kind of filling up, big money positions. And then on the back end, if you want to pay Jamal Adams, and then if you have Shaquille Griffin too, it feels like you're spending way too much on the defense when, you have guys on the offense, you have spots on the offensive line to fill too. So where do you kind of prioritize the positions?
I think they're at the point where it's really going to come down to, who's going to be the offensive coordinator. And I think what ends up being the priority could be in part determined by who ends up being the offensive coordinator. If they bring in an offensive coordinator who's going to change or at least alter somewhat the offensive system and the style of blocking or whatever, it may be that they need to invest a little bit more money into the offensive line than they have in the past. Obviously the team has largely shied away from spending massive money on the offensive line. They've gone bargain hunting in free agency. They haven't signed the mammoth contracts, the multi-year deals to players, but I could see them spending more money than a lot of fans anticipate, particularly if they feel it could help Russell. He's not the highest paid quarterback in the league anymore, but is, you do have a $35 million a year investment there at the quarterback that you're looking to protect, because you're not really, I'm pretty sure they're not looking forward to having Geno Smith roll out there because Russ is in the hospital or something.
Right.
And so it's, I could see them spending more on the offensive line than, devoting to the defense. I think my guess would be that they would likely not go cheap, but I think Pete's going to be more confident in his ability to come up or to coach up an outside cornerback than he is to be able to develop an offensive lineman over the course of a single offseason. And he's got guys, whether it's Gavin Heslop, whether it's Jason Stanley, Ryan Neal, whether he stays at safety or moves to an outside spot, I think he's got the names at corner that he could say, we'd love to have you back, Shaquille, but we just don't have the money. I just don't see him coming back with the emergence of DJ Reed. If he wants to play on league minimum, I think they have him back every day of the week, but it's not, I don't think.
Well, or even, I feel like Quandre Diggs has been playing on a pretty reasonable veteran type contract too. So something like that, I don't think you could even say no to, but I don't think that he's going to, even with everything that we've seen from Seattle corners where they've gone to other teams and just not had the same level of success that they had in Seattle. Richard Sherman, obviously, the one exception to that. But, you know, everybody who played opposite Richard Sherman went other places, and you just didn't see that same level of success.
No, absolutely. And I think that comes down to it's a function of both the system and, you know, what Pete can do. And I think the Seahawks are well aware of that and well aware of the fact that they don't necessarily need to overpay for that second cornerback spot. I mean, they certainly didn't do it this year. They went out, they spent a fifth or a sixth round pick. They sent for Dunbar to, you know, pay him $3.5 million. And if they'll be shopping the market for that kind of deal, that kind of trade this year too. So it's not urgent. Yes, they'd love to have Griffin back. Like you said, if he comes back on with some kind of contract that's similar to, you know, what Diggs is playing for, please, by all means, let's get that done. But I don't think that's what Griffin is looking for. So it's, we'll see how everything plays out, especially, if some team overpays for Griffin. I could see one of the Florida teams overpaying for him to bring him home, use him as the hometown boy, whatever, the name, that would not surprise me at all. And if he cashes in, and Seattle will say, best of luck to you. Please, when it doesn't work out like it didn't work out for Byron, we're more than happy to have you back. So, right. I think it'll be wait and see. But I really feel like, as much as we would all love to have that confidence in that second corner position, I think the second corner position next year, it really feels like it's going to be some kind of low end free agent acquisition, or, some kind of, somebody who was acquired in trade like Dunbar in competition with the younger guys and with Trey Flowers.
Well, that would be the one position that really scares me then going into this next season. But, if that's the one question mark on defense, I think that's probably the one place where I do have the most confidence that Pete and John can find a guy to come in and compete or even take over one of those spots.
No, absolutely. And as long as they're not out there signing Kerry Williams again, I think we should be all right.
He's John P. Gilbert of fieldgoals.com. John, anything else you want to touch on? Any articles coming up that you want to talk about coming up?
Oh, just, we're going to be getting into the crux of the offseason, looking at all the fun stuff. We've got the combine coming up, whatever the format of that's going to end up being in February, because that could be extended and several weeks long and completely fun. And then we, obviously we head right into free agency and the draft. So it's going to be, we've hit the off season, but this is the fun season. So
follow him on Twitter at John P. Gilbert NFL. Check out his work up at fieldgoals.com. If you hadn't tuned into our first part of our conversation, go back to Monday's episode. We talked about salary cap. John's got a new article up at fieldgoals.com with the expected salary cap range for 2021. You're going to want to check that out. Also, be sure and check out my latest episode of the Seahawkers podcast. It's up at seahawkerspodcast.com. We covered Pete Carroll's end of the year press conference, and Adam and I settled on the one name that we both want to see as the new Seahawks offensive coordinator. Check that out. Stay tuned to this podcast here throughout the offseason. If you're not subscribed, go to sbnation.com/NFL podcasts and subscribe to this show. Get it in your podcast feed whenever there's a new episode. And until next time, go Hawks.